Judy Sharp has returned for Gardening Talkback. And Judy, I know you're ready to launch into some of those callers, so fingers crossed we get a whole stack of them.
Yeah, that'll be great, Mark.
We'd love to hear from you. But in the meanwhile, Judy, you have a couple of topics you'd like to start us off with there.
Yeah, well, Mark, I wasn't here last week, you would realise. So, of course, my topics weren't presented, were they, by my replacement? And it's
he likes holding off on topics. a bit of a Scotty secret for him. He comes in with topics. He's like, please don't burn through all of these because I want to make some of these last a little bit longer. But so you got 100% holdover last week.
Oh yeah, good. Anyway, what I need to kind of refresh people's mind is that March 17th. What do you think that is? March 17th.
Is it a Tuesday?
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, of course it is.
St. Patrick's Day. What do you plant on St. Patrick's Day, Mark? Sweet peas, darling.
Exactly. Well, yeah. But you didn't let me give me a chance to...
I was a bit quick, wasn't I?
Just
sorry about that. Well, you know what the listeners need to do now, they've got a week or so before they plant, they need to prepare the soil with poultry manure and an all-purpose plant food and leave it for a week before they plant. Now, sweet peas are traditionally always planted on St. Patrick's Day.
Is that a thing? That's a thing.
That's a thing. Wow. Yeah, that's a thing. Now, the other thing I thought I should bring you up to date on, our listeners up to date, roses need to have a summer prune now. I know we're now into March, but boy, oh boy, a couple of days ago, we would have thought it was still summer, wouldn't we?
Look, and we are expecting a little bit more heat later in the week, so once the rain sort of clears up a little bit.
Yeah, good time to go out and prune your roses, and that's their summer prune. And when you prune them, you then feed them.
Okay, so pruning first.
You never prune without, yeah, prune first. Maybe just apply sudden impact. Because we're getting a little bit late in the season now, but we sure need to do a summer prune. My roses look a bit neglected. Sadly, I know listeners are listening to me saying that, but, you know, it's been too
hot.
How
can this be so?
Well, it's been too hot.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not going out there sweating and pruning the roses. But then again, then all of a sudden we got rain. Mm. So now when the rain's over, go out and prune the roses, please. The other thing is citrus trees. You always feed citrus at this time of year, Mark. You know that, of course.
I know that right now, yeah.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got ground-grown roses, fertilise with poultry manure, water first out under the drip line, and then if you've got container-grown citrus, you use sudden impact. Now, why sudden impact, Mark?
That's a good question.
Well, sudden impact is for roses. But sudden impact has the same alkaline in it as roses and citrus-like. So it's a very safe product, sudden impact, for your citrus-grown plants.
So you're getting a double bang there, aren't you?
Yeah, aren't you? Use it for... I have it in the house all... No, in the garage all the time.
In the garage. You're not in the house, but close, yeah. Close by. All right, we'll get into some of your calls on 4921 6216 as we continue Gardening Talkback. And we try one now. Judy, what do you think? We'll give it a go?
Yeah, let's try one, shall
all
we?
All right. Good afternoon, Neil at Wickham. What's going on with your organic mulch? What's the story there, Neil?
Well, I'm just... hello, how are you going? It's nice to see a bit of rain, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful, Neil, really wonderful.
Yeah, so we've just moved down to Newcastle and I've noticed that the soil is particularly sandy where I live.
Right, okay.
And I thought I'd try and get some, a good garden mix to, you know, to before I started planting a few shrubs and that type of thing.
Right, okay. So what kind of shrubs are you going to plant, Neil?
Well, I've got some, box to plant, and I was going to and looking at some ordering some bare rooted roses.
Well, we're looking at two different opposites there. You know, the box will like cow manure.
Yep.
Cow manure, where you're going to plant the box.
Yeah, I've got some of that already. I'm just getting it aged at the moment. I've opened the packet up. Yep, so I've got some of that.
And of course, your roses will like poultry manure.
Yes.
So very simply, cow manure on one lot and poultry manure on the other.
Yep. So I'd like to also build up the garden with some, garden mix. So where, the actual bed I want to plant, so where would you suggest I get that from? A good one.
Yeah, okay. So you want to buy it in bulk, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a ute, so I'll go and get a scoop full of it and then add it, and then if that's not enough, I'll go and get some more type thing.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different locations around. Probably best to go on Facebook, not Facebook, on...
You mean online?
Yeah, online, Google or whatever. You know, there's a very good one out at Redhead. And then there are others, you know, out around the Lakeway. There's a good nursery around there and at Warners Bay. You know, that'll give you a couple of different options.
Yeah, without giving me a name. So one at Redhead, one at the Lake and one at Warners Bay.
Yeah, how's that go?
Yeah, no, that I'll Google and then see if I can come up with it. And then, yeah, I just wanted to get a good quality one. Yeah, some of them are better than others, aren't they?
They are. But, Neil, you know what I'd also throw in? Sugarcane mulch.
Yep, got some of that as well.
Oh, there you go. Look,
gee, he's all over it, isn't he?
He's a real gardener, this man. Neil, you'll keep ringing us, won't you, and letting us know how you go.
Yeah. I've just moved down from Dubbo, so completely different gardening conditions.
Definitely different soil out there than here.
Yeah, clay.
Red clay dirt, yeah.
Yeah, but also, too, what about the rain? We turned rain on for you.
That's perfect, isn't it?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful, Neil. Look, thank you. Get back to us and let us know how that garden goes.
All right. Best of luck with everything. And Elaine from Charlestown, thanks for your patience, Elaine. Now let's have a crack at your bougainvillea.
Oh, Elaine, sorry about that. Okay, we got to... Can you hear me this time?
I can hear you this time.
Oh, right, that's wonderful. Sorry.
I've got a bougainvillea.
Yeah.
It's the bambino one, the small one.
Yeah.
Put it for a pot.
Yes.
It had six little branches on it, but only one branch seems to want a flower. The other five, nothing at all. It gets new leaves on it, but no flowering at all. So
Have
I bought a bogus one, or what's happening there?
Look, I've noticed this year, I think because we've had such a hot summer, the bogues have flowered incredibly. Everywhere you look, you know, even in gardens that aren't really well attended. So, look, I think... You may not have bought a bogus one, but Elaine, can you talk me through what kind of potting mix you used?
I bought a premium potting mix.
Right, okay.
From the nursery to put it in a pot.
Where you bought the bogue, rightio, okay.
Yeah.
So how long ago did you plant it?
About 3 weeks ago.
Right, okay. Now, in that time, you've expected it to flower completely in that time. And they are coming up to not flowering now because we're going into the dormant time a little bit for them. But what, Elaine, have you hit it with any weekly fertiliser?
No, I haven't done anything to it. I've just
put it in the soil.
Because I presume the premium
potting mix
that would have had everything in it and not have to...
To do anything. My lifesaver is called Flourish.
Yes, I've got some of that there.
You've got it. Have you used it?
No, it's still sitting in its unopened box.
Okay. Get out the Flourish
today,
Elaine.
Won't work that way, will it?
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, go and give it some straight away and do that each week. You can't hurt it with Flourish.
All right, then. Okay, yes.
And
thank
that
you
should,
very much, Judy.
Well, I hope that works for you, Elaine, and you will give us a ring back because next time you mightn't have any trouble getting through to us. Well, you can get through to Mark. It was only me. They don't want me to talk today.
Well,
it's called a bambino bogue, so I thought it might have been a bogue or something, a bogus.
No. It's a baby bambino. They're good for pots.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, then. Thank you, Judy.
Good luck with that, dear. Bye.
And I'll tell you what, Elaine, the next call, free of charge for you. We won't charge you for admission.
Oh, good on you. Right, I'll look forward to that. Okay, bye.
All right, two for the price of one. 4921 6216, Judy. We still have a bit of work to do. We've got some time for some more calls. I know you're ready to take them.
Okay, sure am.
In the meanwhile, we'll continue with Judy. Of looking through your booklet there, you've got more topics than you'd ever be able to use. So I think we just need to go to the next one.
Yeah, okay, fine, yeah. Mark. Look, I've got a lovely long driveway and down it I've got Sasanqua camellias planted.
Lovely.
Now, someone in the family decided to prune their little heads off. Not Judy, someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the other day when I walked down the drive, instead of driving down the drive, my Sasanqua camellias are starting to flower. And that is correct.
Because so they're starting to recover a little bit.
Yeah. So it's March and they are starting to flower. So if you've got Camellia sesanquas planted, it is a good time to go around if you want to buy new ones, because it's a good time to buy the favourite colours. Because sesanquas come in many different colours, from white through to pinks and virtually red. But, you know, the secret, Mark, about sesanquas, and I know you would have been able to tell me this.
Well, it's a bit of a secret, so I don't want to. I'll let you let the secret loose.
Okay, the secret is that camellias don't always like the sun, but sesanqua camellias, they love the sun.
Uh-huh. So depending on what you've got will be depending on where you should be planting.
That's exactly right. So if you're planting japonica camellias, then you need to give them some morning sun, but not full day sun. Now, the sesanquas, the fact that they're coming into flower, and if you want to go out and purchase new ones, it's a good time to go and pick the colours that you like.
Do you think that, Judy, with that distinction between one versus the other, sun versus not much sun, is that where some people may just come unstuck sometimes?
Oh, definitely. Definitely they do. Japonicas flower very much later, and they have a huge big flower and a bigger leaf. And a lot of people make the mistake of buying those ones and putting them in the sun. So, you know, that's just a little hint for today. But unlike japonicas, they're ideal for hedging. That's what I've done with mine.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Japonicas are more specimens. And you know what they're related to, don't you?
You know I don't.
Tea.
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 Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the tea family. So, you know, it's interesting to learn something new every day, Mark.
Oh, it is. I mean, we've found the secrets with the sun and the tea and all of that. And we'd love for you to throw a couple of questions Judy's way, because she's still here for the next little bit. Tom and Abermain. Tom, you have some questions about crepe myrtle and also plum trees. What's going on, Tom?
Matey, they're shooting up. Like, around the tree, I've noticed a lot of small crepe myrtles. Now, I don't know whether they're seeding or whether it's just coming up from underground, like, you know, from their roots or whatever it is.
Oh, yes, probably from the graft, Tom.
Like from seeds from the plant itself or just how?
Well, you know with the crepe myrtle how you have that very rough bottom on it, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah, and so yours is shooting underneath that rough bottom?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, you need to just get a bit of sandpaper and cut those back. And just, you know, apply the sandpaper so they don't shoot down there again.
Yeah, because our front footpath lawn's just full of these little shrubs, little trees coming up. So far, I've just been mowing over the top. I didn't know whether I was doing the right thing or not.
Oh, look, that's a good way to go, but, you know,
they keep perhaps on coming back.
Yeah, they'll keep coming back. That's why you need to just get a bit of sandpaper and rub them back.
So it's the same with the... I've got a plum tree in our yard. Never had any plums off it in its life. Plenty of leaves and stuff, but right around the tree there's little plum trees growing. Same thing?
The same thing, yes, exactly. Yeah. So do you get plums on it, though?
No, nothing. It's been in there for about 30 years or so, and I've not got a single piece of fruit out of it.
Well, you know what? I think that's because the plant is putting all its goodness into making those babies.
Oh, God, yeah. Not giving good. Me any fruit.
No fruit, yeah, no. Well, get rid of the babies and a good dig. So have you got grass growing up to these plums and the crepe myrtle?
The crepe myrtles, yes, but the plums, I haven't been able getting to grow under the thing. It's just dirt there at present, I think.
Right.
But they're just growing up, shooting up all over the place.
Yeah, okay.
I've just been running the mower over them too.
Oh, you were desperate there, Tom. Look, let's get some rubbing back going on under the plum tree and fertilise, because you want fruit.
Like some sort of a flowering thing, like a some sort of a feed, some type thing.
Oh, yes, just some, you know, get something that to fruit fruiting trees with, to fertilise fruiting trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've had, I didn't think I'd get any fruit off anything. I've got mandarin trees, lemon trees and that in the yard, and I've got nothing off them this year because we've had no rain whatsoever up here, basically. We've got a few showers here today and a few heavy ones, but that's about all we've had.
Yeah, look, it's been a bad summer.
And the hard water's just running off the top.
Yeah, Tom, look, we've had a very, very bad summer this year and I've never known it to be so bad. I'm very surprised we haven't run out of water in the dams.
I've been trying to sort of limit my hosing, but you've got to try and keep everything alive.
You do, of course, Tom. Look, okay, I think you need some sandpaper. And that's okay. Going to be a laborious job for you, just bending over all the time rubbing the sandpaper. But give us a call back in a couple of weeks and let us know if that worked. If it hasn't, well, then I'll find a nasty solution for you.
And Tom, I think we can actually make one amendment. You say your plum tree has done nothing for you in 30 years?
Yes, all I get out of it, Mark, is a shade.
Right, it's no longer a plum tree, it's simply a tree. It's a tree, that's it. All right, mate, best of luck with it. And hopefully, Judy, we'll hear some of Tom's results in a few weeks.
Yes, hopefully, yeah.
All right, best of luck with everything, Tom. Good afternoon, Richard. You have some white spots on the pig face. What's happening there, Richard?
I have white spots on my pig face.
Right, okay, Richard, just tell me, is that pig face growing in the sun?
From about 11 o'clock on.
Right, well, that's hot part of the day. Look, do you find that the white spots, are they moving at all? Are they insect?
No, you pull them off and it's like sticky.
Right, okay, it sounds a bit like mealybug.
Yep.
Okay, so you need to spray it with Malathon and white oil.
Right, yeah. Okay,
have you got any of that? But that's the product.
No, I haven't. I've got neem oil.
Oh, well, that's an expensive product to spray all over the little pig face.
Yeah, pig faces I got from my brother-in-law, and he passed away last year, so I really don't really care what it costs.
Okay, no. Mm. So, Richard, have you tried the neem oil?
Yes, but it doesn't seem to be doing anything.
Okay, well, look, Marathon and white oil is a cheaper product. But the neem oil would work. I'm not sure why it's not. So
would they fall off once they die?
Look, I should imagine they would. Have you gone back and, you know, rubbed them off after they die, or...?
Yes, well, there's that many of them. It's unbelievable.
Oh, right, OK. Oh, that's nasty. OK, let's get the Marathon and the white oil.
Right, yeah, then. Okay.
And apply that then. and just follow the instructions and keep your fingers crossed.
Yep. Okay, then. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Bye.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Richard. And even though we were late out of the blocks today, Judy, we did have quite a bit of a variety of calls and things for you to sort out today.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Very much so. All right, Judy, thank you so much for your time. We'll let you head out and we'll look forward to another gardening tour back same time next Monday afternoon.
Okay.